recording is live. Oh no, your camera disappeared.
Okay. I hope they heard you say favorite movies. I turned it off just in case.
Oh, that's real. Save some data. That is a lot more data coming through.
But you can look at me.
I mean, just remember to speak into the mic. The people want to hear you.
I am actively deep throating the mic. I will keep my lips on it. I'm
not
promise.
Going to lie. This is the clearest I've heard you speak in forever.
Wow.
What's the wow for? It's just facts.
Why you ain't say nothing?
I've always said something. It took a third party to come in and be like, oh, hey, audio. And I was like, all right, I gotta be on it because the people want to hear Persian, a.k.a. Jam, a.k.a. the little kitten that could.
It's okay. You have all the information. I'm just cute. I'm just here.
Ma'am, you're not just here. You are a part of this. This lovely podcast called Big Letter, Little Letter, where I am your host, Hito.
And I'm Jam.
Oh, I thought she was not going to pick up on it. But, you know, her network is struggling right now. So bear with us this episode.
Dang. We're gonna get through it.
See, you used too much data with that dang. Yeah, got you sounding like a robot.
Shut up. Okay. You've been gone for 2 months. Be nice to me and give the people what they want.
Of course I would. So yeah, like she said, we have been gone for about 2 months. The last episode was with the lovely Kiki of Kinks with Kiki. We honestly have been living life.
I'm so sorry.
We've been living life just trying to get by because, you know, this podcast is a lovely side project of ours. It is not paying the bills. That's what the other job is for. This one's more of a passion project where we like to just try to educate and talk to some people, let them pick up a thing or two.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, my whole life is feeling like a passion project.
That sounds like a lie because it sounds like the bulk of your life does not involve a lot of things you're passionate about.
But it does. It's just all passion, no pay.
Oh, touche. I had to stop and think like, yeah, because you do love your doula work. You do love helping the women. I was thinking more on the side of, damn, I got to pay these bills and I got to pay like to exist and I got to pay like debt and shit.
Yeah, that part sucks. I actually asked somebody this morning, how many years does one have to live as an independent girl before somebody else will take care of me?
What are the odds to win the lottery?
That doesn't work. I need some legitimate math.
That is legitimate math. That someone has crunched the numbers of the odds to win the lottery, and I feel like it's right around there. You gotta get lucky. You gotta happen upon it sometimes.
See, but I don't want to be the one that wins the lottery because I'm still taking care of myself.
But I'm talking about the side of the lottery is finding someone to take care of you like that.
You can play the lottery.
I have yet to because the numbers just keep... Every time I look, I'm like, I'm going to play the lottery. It's like, but the odds are so low. I'm just throwing money away. How do you think it got to $1 billion? Because a lot of people threw money away.
You got to play to win. That's how you win.
That aside...
Can't win if you don't play.
That aside... Welcome back to our lovely little podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, we've just been living life. I've just been working. I've been traveling. It's Hoochie Daddy season, you know. My Hoochie Daddy shorts are on in full effect because the weather is nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to, like, get all the Hoochie Daddy in before the sun comes out in Texas, where then it's just no longer Hoochie Daddy season. It's sweltering season.
Then the stay inside season.
It is the where's the AC fan season. Like I have a window of the next like 3-4 weeks where I could just be outside and not thinking, my God, it's hot. And then once we're in like the crux of June, oh yeah, it's, I know it's going to hit 100 degrees every fucking day. And that's the, oh, where brunch at? Oh, it's outside? Oh man, let me go buy one of those fancy fans that sprints me.
At least you go outside still, but do you still cuddle?
Oh, sorry. You said, do I still cuddle?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the AC and the like 5 fans are for.
At least you're still committed to the cause.
Look, skin-to-skin contact. Like, what was it? The love language, physical touch. It's number 5 out of 5. Like, you know, I have other higher priorities.
Need it to survive.
But I do enjoy, you know, a little cuddle, a little holding, a little, like, using my hands to smack some ass. So, yeah.
A little cuddle.
But no, beyond that, we secured a panel at BlurredCon with another friend that of mine where we're going to be talking Kink 101. And we really do need to work on, like, how that's going to look because, you know, it's BlurredCon, so I want to make sure we add on the blurry elements along with talking about kink because it'll be kind of weird to, like, go in there like it's a sex conference when really it's just a bunch of nerds that likely did some freaky shit.
He's talking about me. I know. It's okay.
I'm talking about damn near everybody. You can't find me anyone that is like, of course you can find those that are like, oh, this seems like a fun little hobby or fun little thing to do for now. Yes, you'll run into those that are not really cultured in the nerddom. But everywhere else, you will find someone that is nerdy about something. It don't have to be the same thing. Like, you have some plant nerds. You have some comic book nerds. You have some Japanese nerd. Like, you'll have a nerd for something inside of kink. And that's the reason why we do it. It's fun.
He's talking about me. He's like, she's not nerdy enough to be a BlurredCon, but I'm going to bring her along anyway.
Wow. I did not even say that part. Wow. Kitten, you are learning how to just make some stuff up to make yourself look like the person that's like, wow, I don't even have the words right now. See, you're going to play too much. I'm going to find my ass in Jersey to get my payback.
I dare you.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, ladies and gentlemen, this week, again, because it's been 2 months, we just pretty much gave you a rundown of what's been going on. Nothing in particular too crazy, you know. Met up at...
My birthday happened.
Her birthday did happen. What'd you do for your birthday?
It was phenomenal. I was really cute. I wore a lot of pink.
That sounds like a very, very great look on you.
You would know.
I would not know because I'm in Texas, but I did see you in Philly.
You saw me on my birthday.
I did see you. Wait, I didn't see you. I did see you on your birthday. I keep forgetting. There's so much.
You spent my entire birthday weekend with me. Wow. Okay, never mind. Skip it. That never happened.
There's so much going on. Woman, if you don't, because I'm mixing up a... Is that lightning? But no, because there has been a lot that has gone on in the past 2 months. Because I had to stop and really think about, like, oh, yeah, I've been to New York. I've been to Jersey. I've been to Philly. What else have I done? Like, I've been to Houston so many times, I feel like I live there at this point.
You know, I'm actually very proud of you for staying in your own state sometimes.
The way my bank account is set up, it told me to. But yes, I was That's out there for her birthday. Oh, we also got to kick it with Glittersaurus Rex Tiana.
We did.
See, so again, it's kind of hard to do a recap because there was so much stuff that has went on in the past 2 months. But Scout's Honor, we will try to go ahead and get back on our regularly scheduled program because my other podcast, Hitchhiker's Guide to Ethical Non-Monogamy, ENM for short, is gaining a lead in regards to like the episode counts where I'm already at 35 and we're about to get to like 30 on this one.
Yeah, it's not right, man.
You say it's not right. I say, ha, ha, ha. Catch me if you can, slowpoke.
You know what? I blame myself because when you set the goal of having more episodes of that podcast, and I said, I'll make sure you do it, and look at me now.
Yeah, hey, you are...
My service has come to bite me in the ass.
Look, that service has been amazing. You are in your service bag, and I appreciate you. Shit, I forgot about Whore Tour. Jesus Christ, we did a lot.
We did do a lot. I planned my first playcation, guys, and I'm never allowed to plan again.
Oh, my God. See, this is the problem when you deal with littles that does not know that there is nuance. Because she wants to go to the extreme. Either she gets to plan everything or she gets to plan nothing. That is like...
Yes, so.
Oh, wow. See? See? This woman is a whole lot. And this is why I'm glad she's in my life, because she keeps me on my toes. But anywho...
Did I do a good job?
You'll find out later. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am the kind of dominant that's petty. And speaking of dominant, we actually, as you can see from the episode title, actually we're just going to kind of talk about different variations and combinations when it comes to BDSM and the BDSM world and kink. So today's episode will be D is for Dynamic.
Dynamic.
Hey.
It's dynamic.
You need to deep throat the mic. How many times? Like, come on.
Wow, that's dynamic.
That's the shit I'm talking about. Come on, girl. A BDSM dynamic, normally known as a DS dynamic or a power dynamic, describes a committed relationship between a dominant and a submissive, involving the exchange of power on a deeper level, and generally is a part of a lifestyle. And when we say dominant and submissive, we're just pretty much just using that in place of top and bottom roles within said power exchange.
Yes, like a big letter and a little letter.
Oh my God, you fit in the name of the podcast. You get a cookie.
Bazing! I'm a winner.
But yes, that's normally whenever you hear someone speak of a dynamic, that is primarily what they're talking about. Now, the concept of a dynamic is not limited to just simply BDSM and kink. You'll hear about dynamics in like the polyamorous and non-monogamous circle in regards to how their relationship is established, like how their relationship works. So what we're going to focus on is primarily on the BDSM and kink side of things. Now,
yeah,
we do have examples in regards to what dynamics may look like. I'm going to go ahead and throw out the top portion. My lovely co-host, Jam, will go ahead and say the bottom version because, you know, why not?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. You deep dropping that mic?
I am.
That's a good girl. Now, dominant.
Submissive.
Top.
Bottom.
Master and or mistress.
Slave.
Rigger, also primarily a rope top.
Rope bunny or rope bottom.
Goddess.
Worshipper.
Sadist.
Masochist.
Daddy or mommy. Or parent.
Little.
Caregiver.
Pet.
Predator.
Prey.
Tamer.
Brat.
You said that with some gumption.
It's my favorite.
Clearly. Now, again, these are just examples of the honestly most well-known when it comes to these kind of dynamics. And when we're saying that it's a power exchange, we are primarily talking about control, like who has the control and who gives control to another. That's honestly the reason why you'll hear a lot of dominants talk about how submissives are the ones that have the power in the dynamic, because the dominant cannot do anything to said submissive that they don't allow. And then as you go through different variations, a higher tier that leans on the total power exchange 24/7 side of things, that's a little bit more, more like, wow, y'all really in this shit, is that mistress and the master and the slave. Because in that one, it's not as simple. It's not as simple as the dom sub role, where it's like, oh, I allow you to do A, B, and C. Dominant, okay, cool. I can only do A, B, and C, and we're gonna get creative using A, B, and C as agreed upon. The slave portion is, I submit completely to you. I will do everything you say. That is the one where it's literally all power is taken. Of course, there should be some kind of safe words or some other like triggers in there that would like make a pause happen if done properly. But beyond that, everything else is...
Yeah, we should talk about that soon.
We will. I know you want to call it something else. We will do that later. But in regards to the exchange of power, same thing, rope top, rope bottom, someone doing the tying, someone being tied up. You'll see various variations of goddesses, or you don't really see God too much, because it does kind of fit like the way BDSM evolves is also because we're people. And so more times than not, especially in a patriarchal society, men are already seen regularly as being gods. Like, you want to be a man. You want to be the person on top. So that's the reason why in BDSM, you'll see certain instances where it is primarily women / queer focused, and it's not as simple as getting the cis hetero man. Like, you won't see a god, oh, I'm a god, give me X, Y, and Z. Because on one side, religious people will come for you. On the other side, you're already at the top. How much higher do you think you can go?
I mean, I'm honestly very wary of men who go around calling themselves gods.
So yeah, so it's not to diminish the women that are calling themselves goddesses. It's just purely that dynamic and how it's established. It's the reason why when you see femdom, you don't really see men in that range. When you see financial dominance, you don't really see men in that kind of like space, because BDSM also does mirror society. That's the reason why the good old cliche is, oh yeah, the CEO of the billion dollar company, he has a mistress that entertains his submissive side, because just like, what was it, art imitates life, same thing with BDSM and kink.
No, that's true.
You got anything else to add?
No, you're making the people think.
All right, well, if that's the case, why don't you go ahead and pull up the questions that you were able to get?
Yes, because I did a lot of crowdsourcing for this episode. I feel like it was important to make sure people are being heard and getting their questions answered. And also, I'm in a lot of different circles, some of them more kinky than others, some of them learning BDSM type spaces. And I wanted to make sure that we are very clear in this episode when we're talking dynamic.
All right, go for it.
One of the things that came up was that dynamics are usually entered into with a purpose. They have clear labels for the parties because it helps them define their roles.
All right, and was this
that makes sense, right?
But say, was that a question you were given, the answer you were able to provide?
Yeah, so what was happening was we're getting, of course, in like, especially poly and E&M, you'll hear people say dynamic more often. But what was happening was that people were just calling any relationship that they entered into, if they met in the kink setting, a dynamic. And I was wondering if they really meant it. And sometimes what you're entering into is not a dynamic, but it really is just a relationship, and that's fine. You can call it a relationship even if you met in a kink setting. But I think when we're talking dynamics, especially when you're getting amped up for BDSM and you want to get into the lifestyle and you tell someone you want to be in the dynamic, you might meet somebody who is really serious and they're like, all right, so let's negotiate. And now you're caught off guard because that's not what you meant.
Because on that end, like the most important part that I do catch from there is, yes, dynamics are usually entered. You get into a dynamic with a purpose. Like there's a reason why you're establishing this dynamic. Mm-hmm. On the other side, though, I feel like you can't police the term dynamic, because even monogamous people, like what they have is a dynamic. There's like a set definition of what a dynamic is, but I can understand. What you want to do is try to avoid people confusing themselves as to what a dynamic is or what it could be. Primarily,
yeah, not policing the term, but like being clear about your intentions.
Yeah, because I mean, because people confuse dom sub all the time. Because, like, whenever I am like at an event, I prefer to focus on the terms top and bottom because I don't know who you are. Like right now in this scene, there's just a set role in this particular moment. Because when it comes to other words, I'm not going to say, oh, this is a sadist masochist dynamic, even though I'm the top and you're the bottom. No, that's not how that kind of works. Like when you go in with the attention, hey, I want A, B, and C, and I want A, B, C, and D from you. That is what's being discussed in order to, like, this is the kind of dynamic I want. Will you be able to help fulfill said dynamic? So yes, the purpose part, definitely. It's just one of those things, like, you know, don't confuse, like, I went to a party and did something with a person. That's like me going to, like, a swinger party. I fuck someone, like, oh, yeah, we're dating. Like, that's not how that works. James, still there with me? Oh no, I lost Jam, but that's okay. Hey, if anything, it's a good time to take a break. I can try to find some music to hold the pause in between. So we'll be right back with you in just a few moments. Welcome back, Jam.
Struggle.
You said what now?
I'm back. I was lost.
And now you're found. Don't worry, I already told the people, you know, just a little break while we get you back. But let's go ahead and continue with the next one that you had on the crowdsource questions.
Alrighty. So I guess going off of you enter into dynamics with clear intentions and purpose. The other one was that you shouldn't enter a dynamic lightly. I don't think you should enter into anything lightly, frankly.
Agree.
But remembering that, especially in a BDSM setting, dynamics involve discussions around consent, boundaries, wants, and needs. And it's not just like one day you say, hey, I want to be in a dynamic, and then you're off and just doing a thing. You should probably have a discussion about what the thing that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely agree on that. And I feel like others got to recognize that negotiations are ever evolving because, you know, consent is revocable. If there's something within that was discussed the first time, it can be changed at a later time. Like, just because they said in the beginning doesn't mean it is the de facto from here on until the end of time. So, yeah, that one.
Right. I was reading a book, and the chick in the book was having a hard time her dynamic because she was in like a master-slave dynamic, and we'll talk more about it later. Mm-hmm. But she got into the dynamic at a time when she was working through some trauma, and after she had worked, she no longer needed the things that they were doing in the dynamic, but she was too scared to tell him. And you have to remember that even in the dynamics, a master slave, a total power exchange, there's still room for you to renegotiate the terms.
Yeah, I always feel like, especially with those 24/7 total exchanges, total power exchanges, there's got to be some fail safes within it, because it's kind of hard to tell the intentions of another person unless you know how to read minds. So it's kind of good to have a fail safe in there. Like, for me, I can easily gauge, hey, I should only stay within this parameters. The next guy after me, he might not have that same thought. He might just be thinking, I'm going to keep going until she gives. Like, you can't just assume the master in that dynamic is going to understand, something might be a little off with her. I should probably do something and adjust without, like, you know, or check in on her. Like, some people are not like that. Some people can't pick that up. So, you know, yeah, these discussions are very important.
Very flexible. Dynamics are flexible.
Oh, there you go, Jam. Deep throating that mic again. That's what I like to hear.
I'm not going to do it with you.
All right, what we got next?
All right, so I'm fresh off of the virtual summit, the first ever virtual submissive summit held by Black Redeem Society, run by the subs, me being one of them. And one of the purposes of the summit was that submissive take a deep look into what they meant to them and how they present it to others. And some people choose to go solo while they're exploring these things. It could be a hard transition going from solo to in a dynamic with somebody. Some of the things I've been thinking about is collars. And as a reminder that collars are not always immediately involved when dynamic. Or you can have different kinds of collars. If you're starting a BDSM dynamic, like maybe you start with a play collar, maybe you start with a necklace, maybe you only wear it at certain times. And if you want to know more about collars, you can check out episode 7 of our podcast.
Most definitely. And I will say, hold up. Don't speed past the bump. There's a reason why there's a bump there. But I just want to go ahead and say, in regards to collars, because I do feel like some people treat collars a little too frivolously, because it's supposed to be something that is like, it's a big deal. It's something that is, it's not just simply, oh, I can't wait to be collared. That is the wrong mentality to have. Mm-hmm. It should be more about, oh, I can't wait to meet a solid dominant, or, oh, I can't wait to meet a good master. Like, you shouldn't be worried more about the ceremony than the person that you'll be having the ceremony with.
Yes. Something that I like to do is I started my own collection of collars, and if I'm playing with people who I might possibly entertain in a dynamic, or just people I want to, you know, have some fun with, my regular tops at an event, I'll let them hold my leash. I have a leash on my collar. Not everybody has a leash with their collar, but I'll let them hold my leash. But in that way, it's still mine, and I'm practicing what it might feel like to give over this kind of power. Is power the word?
I would say power or control.
Responsibility, control.
Responsibility, all of it. They all fit.
Yeah, I'm practicing giving that over to someone else, which is a good way for you to test a dynamic when you're in the midst of discussion.
All right, and what we got, I think we got one more.
Yes. All right, so, I mean, Hito and I say that we are not experts all the time. We're learning just like many of you. I feel like anybody in the lifestyle who says they have nothing to learn, you probably should stop talking to those people immediately. Because even as an experienced kinkster, you should still be willing to learn. And the excitement of knowing you want to try new things or like get deeper into some previous kinks that you were already doing can attract you to a new partner. So maybe, I don't know, he don't want to learn fire.
And maybe not want he to, meets, I will.
He does going to learn fire. My God. He does going to learn fire. And maybe he meets somebody who loves fireplay, who will always let him practice on them. And he might get really excited and be like, yeah, I'm going to take you on as a bottom because I want to practice fire all the time. But Hito also has to remember that in his discussion, he needs to make sure that this person understands their limits with fire and their boundaries with fire, and that you can't just set yourself on fire every day, all the time.
Oh, yeah, because Dubai does got to heal. Because
even as an experienced kinkster, you should still take time to explore the boundaries, abilities, consent, all of that with people. And you're going to do it every time you meet somebody new. Every time you want to enter into a new dynamic with somebody, you're going to need to take your time.
Most definitely. And honestly, as we were going through this, I did think of a couple others that some people might actually want to make sure they think about. I would say one thing I was thinking about is make sure you gauge your vanilla relationships with your kinky ones, because there is the idea of, if I can't do this with you, I'd rather go ahead and do it with someone else. But I've heard of like certain people that'll have the conundrum involving, oh, I have like a legit primary partner that, you know, is everything. But then what happens when the dominant wants to say, nope, come here at 3 a.m. and do X, Y, and Z. Like then it becomes a power imbalance where who has the charge in this given moment. So it's a very tricky thing in those regards. I was saying the second thing, because the way my ADHD brain works, I would definitely forget. I just forgot and just remembered. Make sure you take time to learn your role in that dynamic.
Yes.
Because I am a proponent of, I have no problem teaching someone something, but you got to do your own homework because I could be teaching you the wrong things.
Oh my gosh, I was thinking about that the other day.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking about how sometimes as a submissive, it happens to me too. It's like, especially as a little, you want someone to take care of you so bad that you forget that you have to show them that you know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's very important. Yeah, that's very important, because I will stop and think about, like, I have no problem, like, I'm a dominant, I'm a top because I don't care to give up control, but also I don't want to break the trust of someone giving me that control, but I kind of want the person that's giving me that control to know what they are actually giving me, because I don't want them to go into something. I am a Rax kind of consent person where I need you to know what's going to be involved.
Yeah. You know what's really sexy?
What would that be?
When Hito says, "You're right. I'll try that next time."
I don't know everything. I'm a know-it-all that wants to know it all. Like, if I am in the wrong, I will say I am wrong and then learn something new, because I don't want to be wrong two times in a row for, like, the same shit. Mm. But, yeah, that was just my two, because, you know, if, like, the best example I can give, if you want to be a rope bunny, you need to learn how to be a rope bunny, because one of the things that annoys me as I'm doing, like, rope, is someone that moves on their own without me telling them to. And it just throws me off because they want to pre-turn because of what I'm doing. Nah, just stand. You are a statue until I guide you to move. But some people don't know that. Some people just think, oh, I'm doing them a favor by moving a position. Like, no, you're messing up the slack where Yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's like, learn the role that you want to be a part of. So that way it's enjoyable for both parties and the risk is mitigated.
Yes.
But all right.
This is productive.
I'm glad you brought, because Jam's the one that picked this topic, so I'm glad that this was picked, because it's one of those things where it's like one of the like basic ground level things, like, because my personal experience, as I said, my overall aesthetic is a hedonist. That, like, once I read the definition of that term, someone who derives pleasure from providing pleasure, that was me to a T before I even really got into the kink world like that. So that's how, even if you look at me on FetLife, hedonist, that'll always be the primary thing there. But in terms of roles, dominant. A dominant bare bottom definition is the person that takes the control from a submissive and acts upon it. That's who I am. I don't care to be bottom. I don't care to be tied up. I don't care to be impacted. I don't care for none of that stuff. But on the other end, I want to provide you with a pleasurable experience with me guiding you on that journey. That's how I end up on being essentially a dominant. Now, there are other dynamic titles that I touch in because I do rope. I am a bit of a sadist. I top. I'm a predator. I don't know how I became this. Yeah, maybe my naturally bratty girlfriend. But yeah, yes, I'm a bit of a tamer. Well, and Jam too. Mm-hmm. But I see those mainly as secondary because the dominant role just comes a little bit more natural to me. And no, not in the natural sense of, oh, masculine energy, blah, blah, blah. Just more so, I'd rather be trusted with control. And so, yeah, that's just how I go. That's my personal experience with dynamics.
I'm just a baby.
That was it. No, that was the statement. I'm just a baby. Got it.
That's my personal experience. I'm a baby. But I don't know. I'm the little letter of this podcast. So I'm a submissive. I won't tell you anything different. I'm not switching. I'm not doing anything else. But my big two are little and kitten. And I know that when I enter into dynamics, people have to be comfortable with those two because I can't seem to shake them no matter what else I'm doing. And I think that's a part of knowing or having a purpose when you enter a dynamic, because if I'm entering into a BDSM-specific dynamic and somebody's like, I hate littles and I hate kittens, I probably shouldn't be in a dynamic with that person. But I know that the person that I enter into a dynamic with probably needs to be a caregiver or a handler. And, of course, I'll have, like, short period dynamics where I get to focus on one part of myself. You know, like, I'm in my service bag. Maybe I meet somebody who enjoys service a lot. I'm learning rope, so I'll get to be a rope bunny a little bit. But I think a lot about my ultimate dynamic. And it really does, I know that it needs to be someone who identifies as or like can take on the role of a caregiver. And it's definitely going to be a 24-hour, 7-day a week, all the time in your dreams type situation. Because that's what I like. I just told you, I'm trying to figure out the math on how long I have to be an independent girl before somebody will take care of me.
And that I fucks with that. Though, I do want to say, though, I feel like a lot of the individuals, I was about to say a lot of these niggas, but a lot of individuals always come in with that energy of, oh, I can't stand a brat. Oh, I can't do a brat. And I'm like, do you even know what a brat is? Because there's like a fine line between like a brat and an abusive person. Like, there is a brat where it's like you could tell it is like they are doing something to gain something. But then you have the other ones that claim they're brats where it's like, oh no, they're just doing something for the sake, like not even to get something, but just to be a burden.
They give us a bad name.
Yep, they're ruining it for all the good brats out there. Because I know you're a brat, but there's not been one time where you're bratty and I'm thinking, oh, she is intentionally trying to harm me or hurt my feelings. Not once. But have you gotten on my nerves at times?
Isn't that nice?
Of course you've gotten on my nerves at times. You're a brat.
Aww.
But have you ever got on my nerves to the point where it's like detrimental, where it's like, oh, wow, she just really wants to hurt me right now? Or she just really is trying to like do X, Y, Z? No, not at all. So, like, that's the reason why I'm like, well, you're like, oh, I can't stand brats. Like, what kind of brats have you? And worst part is, these people would probably have never dealt with a brat at all. They're just the brats themselves.
This is true. A lot of dominants are just really big brats.
Hey. Some. Not a lot. Some are.
Tell me I'm lying.
You're lying. Now, if I was to give some generalization, All the people that slide in the DMs claiming that they're doms looking for a subs, those are brats actually looking for slaves. That's all that is.
They just want to be taken care of.
They don't even want to be taken care of. They want someone to boss around.
No, isn't that nice?
Because you can't boss around your mom, but your mom will take care of you. They just want someone to be like, they want to be feel like a CEO.
Not a CEO.
That's what they want. Hey, Sheila, go get me a coffee. Hey, Michelle, rub my feet. Like, that's what they want without giving anything. Without giving anything except the hello, beautiful in the morning.
The struggle of being a service sub. You'll come across so many people who are so fake. They really just want you to take care of them in the worst way.
All right. But, I mean, this was a good episode. We can go ahead and wrap it up right there.
Okay. I'll miss you.
Aw. Well, I mean, we will be with each other after the fact. But if you do want to reach out to my lovely host, Jam, look her up as I_me_her on Instagram. Make sure you talk to her nice. Otherwise, I will have to step in. she does have a Fet Life, but it's somewhere in the show notes or somewhere. Make sure you check out the show notes and check out her stuff.
Love Persian.
Ah, because Aphrodite is dead.
Yeah, but that's okay.
But then also, of course, you can find me as Sir.Hito on Instagram. Sir_Hito on, what's that one? Fet Life. Fet Life is just Sir.Hito. Twitter is Sir_Hito. As well as Snapchat and Sir_Hito. So you can go ahead
look
and
look who streamlined their social media now.
I always do that whenever I change my name, but this name's gonna stick. And of course, feel free to email questions, qualms, concerns, thoughts to big letter, little letter, was it pod@gmail.com?
Or just hit up our IG.
Yeah. Well,
I work really hard on it.
She has done an amazing job. All right, y'all. Y'all go ahead and have a good rest of the week, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay kinky.
Kinky and safe.